Luke 12. Go to verse 27. We started in 27. We got quite a ways. Anyway, consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. We talked about the lilies, that it's really a something from the gladiola family, and it's much taller than the wheat, and they were very prominent. Pinkies, purple flowers that were just—they were beautiful. Anyway, they grow up, they increase, they toil not, or that neither do they spin. Spin is a word that means to make long. Yet Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. I want to spend a minute on who Solomon is. He's considered the wisest and richest king that ever lived, as still now. There's supposedly the Solomon's treasures are hidden somewhere in Ethiopia, and people have spent millions and millions of dollars trying to find them. It's from the word shalom, or his name. And his name means peaceful. Let's go to 1 Chronicles 22. No, wait a minute. 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel 12. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles.
Okay.
Chapter 12. Nathan came to him in chapter 12, verse 1, and he told him a parable. He said, and the Lord said to Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up, and it grew together with him and with his children. He did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup and lay in his bosom, and he was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him. But he took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was to come to him. And David's anger was kindled against the man. And the reason is, remember, David sent a captain, I can't remember his name.
Uriah.
Uriah, yeah. And then he had an affair with Bathsheba. And then his first son died. And now, just go over to verse 24. And David comforted Bathsheba, his wife, and went in unto her, and lay with her, and she bare a son, and he called his name Solomon, and the Lord loved him. And he sent by the hand of Nathan the prophet, and he called his name Jedidiah, because of the Lord. Now, this is another case where in the lineage of Christ, we have all kinds of weird things that would be the worst kind of family values that could ever be. Here we have David having an affair and then getting rid of his wife, and his wife, the new wife, Bathsheba, bare him a son, and the son's name was Solomon. Then a little later we have Joshua coming into Jericho. And there's a hooker that, a prostitute that...
You mean earlier? You said a little later.
Mm-hmm. Before. Yeah, earlier. And the prostitute helps Israel, and then Joshua marries her. Marries Rahab. Earlier we had the whole lineage of Abraham. We had all kinds of stuff going on. But it's something else is going on besides what we think. And we've talked many times about how the sovereignty of God is total. He's wrought all our works in us. And yet, if the reason sovereignty isn't it comes and goes throughout all of biblical history. And the reason that sovereignty falls into disrepute every generation is because then people use it to justify their own sin, because God is God is sovereign, and so it can never be without repentance. If there's these actions that even God had wrought, if it's without repentance, then it's pure evil. And I just wanted to spend a minute on that. Let's go to 1 Chronicles chapter 22. We're going to take a little bit of a look at Solomon. I can't do all that. I will never get done. I'm talking to myself. Verse 6, chapter 22. Then he called for Solomon his son and charged him to build a house for the Lord God of Israel. And David said to Solomon, "My son, as for me, it was in my mind to build a house unto the name of the Lord my God. But the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Thou hast shed blood abundantly, and hast made great wars. Thou shalt not build a house unto my name, because thou hast shed much blood upon the earth in my sight. And behold, a son shall be born to thee, who shall be a man of rest. And I will give him a rest from all his enemies round about, for his name shall be Solomon. and I will give peace and quietness unto Israel in his days, and he shall build a house for my name. So anyway, Solomon, we've talked many times about, and when we studied Ecclesiastes, about there was nothing that Solomon set his eyes to see that he didn't take if he desired it. He had riches beyond belief. He did everything that his eye set on his head. I mean, that came in. There was nothing. He ran the rabbit in every direction completely. What did he have, like 900 wives or something like that? Or 700 wives and 900 concubines?
No wisdom there.
But anyway, the whole mystery of Solomon is the true meaning of repentance. That's what his life was to teach us. And as we've said so many times, you can come to the end of yourself either by experience or by empathy. That's why the Seder groups are Seder groups, as we talked about last night. So that by empathy, by seeing the vanity of someone else's act, instead of just dreaming about something, then you can come to your end of yourself quicker. And so that's why this vulnerability is so critical in the Seder groups. And that's why the first fruit meeting this year, again, is so important. So that the vulnerability is real. Amen? All right. Let's read 1 Kings 2, a little bit more about Solomon. First Kings chapter 2. We're going to read the first 10 verses. Solomon made affinity with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and took Pharaoh's daughter and brought her into the city of David until he had made an end of building his own house. And the house of the Lord, and building his own house in the house of the Lord, and the wall of Jerusalem round about, only the people sacrificed in high places because there was no house built unto the name of the Lord until these days. Now, this is all we've done for our lives before believers, and hopefully that stopped. But we have sacrificed on these seven high places. That's where our prayers were. That's where we went up. That's where we made our bed. That's where each one of those seven high places hopefully has been seen empty and vain. This is why the meaning of repentance is so total, because it means that you have finished all of the what-ifs and if-onlys in your life, which are all represented in those seven high places. And you can come to say what rest really means. You've entered the Sabbath. You've ceased from your own labors. You see your death and its completeness. And so anyway, let's go look. And so Israel sacrificed on the six high places until they reached the seventh. And the seventh was Jerusalem. I just said that wrong earlier. And so when you can truly say and mean it with every muscle, nerve, and fiber in your body that I am yours without condition, then that what that means is you've ceased. That's the internal test, that you've ceased the other high places. Now only Jerusalem is your life. And that's done, as I said, when the temple is built, or when the tabernacle in the wilderness was finished, both the same type, then I'm yours without condition. And I pray that each one of you can say that. You've destroyed all of the opinions and ideas, all of that crap that didn't stand the test of truth. If your ideas or your great idea folder or whatever it is, whatever secret thoughts, whatever you're wanting changes the time, place, or circumstance, it doesn't stand the test of truth, and therefore it's not worthy to give it importance to. Amen? All right. And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father, only he sacrificed and burnt incense in high places. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon that altar. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I shall give thee." And Solomon said, "Thou hast showed unto thy servant David my father great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast laid thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor be counted for the multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people?" And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said, "Because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither asked riches for thyself, nor asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment, behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. But I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. And if thou wilt walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments, as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days." And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream, and he came to Jerusalem and stood before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, and there offered up burnt offerings and offered peace offerings and made a feast to all his servants. So by asking for wisdom and not asking for all the other stuff, he gave him everything. All right, so that's enough on Solomon. No, it isn't. Let's go to Matthew 1. These are these boring genealogical tables of who he came from. The book of the generations of Jesus Christ. We're not going to read them all. Of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judas and his brethren, and Judas begat Perez and Zerah and Tamar, and Perez begat Hezron, and Hezron begat Ram, and Ram begat Amminadab, and Amminadab begat Nahshon, and Nahshon begat Solomon, and Solomon begat Boaz of Rahab, and Boaz begat Obed of Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David, the king, And David the king begat Solomon of her that had been the wife of Uriah. They didn't even say her name, Bathsheba, but of her that had been the wife of Uriah. This is why you understand that the genealogical tables are gone. They were destroyed in them. And this is something that the Jews did so carefully for all the years. And at the destruction, probably in AD 70, they were kept in the temple. And all the genealogical tables were destroyed. This is why if Jesus Christ came back to earth, he would have no way of proving he was Messiah, because there's no genealogical tables. And so they that think he's coming back to earth and walking around on earth, he couldn't prove he was Messiah except by doing tricks. This is why that the whole theology of the rapture is so crazy. He's going to go up, and he's going to hang around up there for a little bit, and then he's going to come back down, and then Jesus is going to be king over all the earth for 1,000 years. And there'll be peace and love and joy. No. It couldn't happen. It couldn't happen because if they built that temple, they couldn't legally clean it. Because you have to have the ashes of the red heifer. But not only do you have to have the ashes, you have to have the container that the ashes were in for the last time they had a red heifer. So, there's so many things that they can't, they're impossible. They have to have the Ark of the Covenant. So, some of the reasons you can't fall for some of these weird belief systems that are running around in Christianity. What?
I don't listen to them, so I don't know.
All right. Even Solomon, and all that stuff of Solomon, was not arrayed like one of these. Back to Luke 12. Is something else going on? It seems dead in here. Is it because I'm boring or talking boringly? Or?
That's probably it.
That's probably it?
You got it.
Well, I got something. I'll stir it up a little bit, maybe. When you were talking about you can say to God, I'm yours without reservation, I was thinking that I've said that many times.
But it has to be from the inner being.
That's where I said it. I mean, it's not a casual comment. And yet, I'm not perfected when I say that. Things are going to happen, sin or trespasses or what happened, but that doesn't change my confession or my statement to God that I'm yours. It's almost like John's song, well, everything I've got, everything I am, everything I'm not. And in that place, you're not judging what you're going to do or not do, but you're his in everything. And so it's like you don't have to meet a particular requirement.
Well, again, remember the that's fine, and everybody has to go through that.
Yeah.
But again, we use the example. Then from then on, it's sanctification, and all the salt has to be out of the salt shaker. I mean, the pepper has to be out of the salt shaker. In that analogy, and that the only thing that can happen, the only way that's removed, is by repentance. And that repentance is total. It has to get to that point. And so the high place stuff is dead. That's the whole idea of it. I mean, we're not going to go through that. I'm not going to go through identifying each of the high places and all that again. But the whole idea of presenting yourself the living sacrifice without condition, that means that you have in your being, whether you know it or not, you are disclaiming going back to any of those high places. The reason we read what Solomon did is Solomon was the wisest man that ever lived, and yet he, until the temple was built, until Jerusalem was his total dwelling place, he worshipped in the high places. Otherwise, he wouldn't have been able to cross the street.
But at any of those points, it was still that declaration could have been made, "I'm yours, Lord."
Well, right? but yeah, you can say that a million times. But until the repentance has been so total that you're no longer in the picture, until everything is by faith alone, then this is continuing. There's the warfare that's coming at you, that's convincing you you need to lean in your own arm of understanding in order to exist or in order to live. All of these things, I mean, they're in every possible arena, are coming against you externally, until you can finally come to the place where the repentance is total and you've seen the completeness of your death. Now, that place may not happen until you die. But it's what we repeat the scripture so many times in Revelation 14. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus Christ. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. That's the meaning, to get to that place where there's, you're at total rest. There's no more toil. And none of us are there. But we're being perfected. That's the whole reason for time and space. But you've got, the only way happens is because of your repentance. God's not gonna come along and do tricks. He's not gonna ever violate what you think is your idea or your will. As soon as you're in the picture, he takes the lowest seat again, until you can finally repent of that activity. That's true for all of us.
But that position doesn't nullify, "I'm yours, Lord," right?
It's sanctification. I mean, there's nothing to do with nullifying. Might have meant that at that time, but then something arose that proved that it really wasn't true. And anytime you do anything other than faith, anything whatsoever is not of faith is of sin. That's a biggie.
And yet sin has been dealt with, so would it just be trespass?
No, you resurrected the evil one while you're living by something other than faith. You got to remember, the evil one is always there trying to get back into control. He's got a great ideas folder. A wonderful great ideas folder for you. He's just waiting for you to open it. But that's the whole idea of him resurrecting him from his deadly head wound. We are the ones that resurrect him. So that's sin, when we resurrect the evil one.
So that's like betraying Christ.
And it's crucifying the Son of God afresh.
Crucifying
him again. Well, every one of us do it. But some of you don't recognize you're doing it.
Yeah, that's the whole point, to be able to see that you're doing it, not to just do it in your ignorance and continue in your own way.
Right, because again, we believe that God is going to come along and change me when he wants me to. No, he's already done that. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. It's that new creature that's new genetically. A It's that new creature that has to live, not you. All right? All right, that's enough about Solomon. Tomorrow we're going to study grass. Take it, big guy. Everybody understand what we talked about right now? Anybody got any comments or brickbats?
We need a pile of brickbats around here.
Not sure what a brickbat is.
Brickbats are shards of bricks. Broken up bricks. They're called brickbats.
So I'll bring some next time.
Huh?
No, I thought it was the holder that you carry the bricks in.
That's the yod.
The leftovers.
Bricks are the brick bats are the little pieces that are left over.
No, I'm going to fall asleep. Who cares?
The fine
points
of brick bats. So I just kind of started in the alley. So
okay.
That, can you tell me where that?
Yeah.
Trailer. Is there anything else on the way behind the trailer? Okay. You said it might be a pile of trash back there. Maybe you can get it out.
I think the trash was taken away.
Okay.
Is Frank done with his hours?
Frank may be done. He's supposed to call me today or tomorrow. After he talks to his PO and let us know.
Okay.
And if he has like 8 or 10 more hours, then I'm gonna go get a storm door for the Bojo's porch upstairs. And, so he can saw that. Otherwise, he's done.
Okay. Well, the other thing is, we need to get in touch with that woman, Gonzalo's mother.
Gonzalo, he was able to reach Gonzalo yesterday.
I didn't know that.
Gonzalo promised he would be in Saturday morning. And
next Saturday?
This Saturday. Jeff said okay.
What, did he give an excuse?
Yeah.
They promised he'd be here Saturday and Sunday.
He did give an excuse. He had to work.
He said he had to work at 12. He works at Chipotle. He works at Chipotle.
Is it the restaurant that opened right up here, or?
Works at another one. There's or all over the place.
Yeah.
So I was.
Well, it's not him I'm concerned about. It's his mother that lied to us.
Yeah,
I'll talk to her. I tried to call her. The number she gave me yesterday, and it's her work number, and nobody was there. So I'll call her again today and say, look, you know, we expected him to be here Sunday.
Saturday and Sunday.
Well, he was here Saturday.
He was here Saturday.
Remember, he washed dishes on Saturday morning.
Oh, that's right.
So, he's done over half of what he said he would do. He was here 4.5 hours. He owes us 3.5 hours.
Oh, okay. I thought he owed us 8 or 7.5.
Well, at the start,